And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the program. Need I repeat the obvious? Did I not tell you what was happening? Did I not tell you that they wanted Trump to lose so that Hillary could win? Did I not tell you it was a conspiracy between the Democrats and the Republicans to make sure that a candidate who can't beat her wins? And now they think they have the candidate. Of course, it's a long way from over. And I'll say right at the outset again, I have no skin in the game. I don't know Donald Trump personally. I don't care if he wins or loses except for one darn reason. Because I care about America and I fear for the future of this country. Ted Cruz cannot beat Hillary Clinton. It's a statistical impossibility. He has no horsepower. He has no gravitas. He sounds like he's on laughing gas. She'll wipe the floor with him in a debate. Trump would crush her. At least I think so. And I will say again on this program, as I've said numerous times before, I have no skin in the game if Trump wins or loses. I don't gain or lose personally. I wish others would take that oath on the radio or television and tell us whether or not they have anything tied to a particular candidate. But I assure you, I do not have anything tied to Trump. The only thing I have tied to Trump is my hope that he can defeat this monster, this Clinton monster that's existed many times before. In fact, this Clinton monster has appeared in the Soviet Union. This Clinton monster appeared in China. This Clinton monster appeared in the ex-Soviet bloc states. There's nothing new about this Clinton monster. Now, there's something worse than the Clinton monster, which is the anti-Semitic Sanders monster. Yes, you heard me. I know many of you say, wait a minute, that can't be. He's of Jewish descent. Did you know that Bernie Sanders claimed recently that over 10,000 innocent Palestinians were killed by Israelis during the summer 2014 Gaza war? Did you know that Bernie Sanders said that? Do you know that nobody cites these figures, even the Palestinians? He then said, it's 10,000 innocent Palestinians were killed by the Israelis in Gaza. Did you hear this? Do you understand what this means? Even Palestinian sources estimate that 1,462 Palestinians were killed in 2014. Israeli figures, of course, are lower. But Bernie Sanders is a left-wing communist of Jewish descent. The left-wing communists of Jewish descent happen to be the most anti-Semitic of all Americans. I don't know if you know this. They are naked in their hatred of Israel and naked in their mocking of the Jewish people themselves. And so this is a bigger story, by the way, than the election itself, which is how a man as deranged and anti-Semitic and outright Soviet-style communistic as Bernie Sanders could beat Hillary Clinton. That just shows you what's going on the other side of the aisle. And I want to begin now with the soundbite of Bernie Sanders making this claim, which, by the way, is so false it should disqualify him immediately. It's far worse than what Trump said about abortion. It's far worse than anything you've heard from anyone on the campaign trail. It's an outright blood libel by Bernie Sanders. Listen to this carefully.
I'm just telling you that I happen to believe. Anybody help me out here, because I don't remember the figures, but my recollection is over 10,000 innocent people were killed in Gaza. I don't have it in my number, but I think it's over 10,000. My understanding is that a whole lot of apartment houses were leveled. Hospitals, I think, were bombed. So, you know, yeah, I do believe, and I don't think I'm alone in believing that Israel's force was more indiscriminate than it should have been.
If an American Nazi said a thing like this, Jake Tapper would go ballistic. He'd have to go to a hospital from an apoplexy overdose. If a Ku Klux Klan member got up and said this, Wolf Blitzer would probably be hospitalized for a month in outrage. But when Bernie Sanders, a descendant of Jewish people, makes such a blood lie, not a word is said in the media. This is the biggest story within this campaign, which is how an anti-Semite like Bernie Sanders can get away with this. And that's all you need to know about this election. It's a smear job from the top to the bottom. And I want to talk about the media love affair that they've suddenly discovered with Ted Cruz. The very left-wing vermin, or shall I say worms? Let's say worms. A vermin is a loaded term that scares people. So we will call the people in the media who I detest with every fiber of my being media worms. And my statement is quite clear. I guess the Muslim terrorists haven't hit us hard enough yet. San Bernardino is now a folk song. Boston now a forgotten memory. All of this danger that our country will face in the future should Hillary win, while ISIS is trying to acquire nuclear material, and individual terrorist cells are being, let us say, investigated in all states, followed in all states, with a leadership who keeps softening the problem, pushing it down the road. In fact, Obama is enabling the Muslim terrorist problem, encouraging it to grow right here. And we're in the middle of a battle for the future leadership of this nation. And in the midst of all of this, the media has suddenly fallen in love with Ted Cruz. Now, why would leftists in the media, the worms that I refer to, suddenly love Ted Cruz? They didn't love him 3 months ago. They love him because they know that he can easily be defeated by their gal Hillary. They want their gal Hillary to win, and they know in their hearts that Cruz can't beat him. That leads us to what happened in Wisconsin last night. What you witnessed was a political hit job perpetuating a phony personal war against Trump. Now, the media, the worms, used the last 2 weeks pushing a phony personal war on women that Trump was allegedly waging when he wasn't. The governor, the very popular Scott Walker, used his well-oiled political machine to wage his own vote, squashing Donald Trump and supporting Ted Cruz. These super PACs who hate Donald Trump because he is an outsider put all of their tens of millions into this effort to crush Trump. And then there was the supposed local conservative talk radio hosts who ganged up on Trump and jumped on the Cruz bandwagon. These are decent men, I'm sure. I've never heard of them. They're unknown. No one ever heard of them. But all of a sudden, they were regaled as somebody important by the very media that ignores national talk show hosts who are far more important. These nobody talk show hosts knew that Trump was strong. They know that national shows bury them in audience. And, of course, that's why the media jumped on them as important kingmakers and kingbreakers. And it's all for one purpose. They were used. It's sad to say that these talk show hosts in Wisconsin were used for one purpose only, to make sure that Ted Cruz has a chance to stop Trump, with the result being a Hillary Clinton presidency. The agenda is quite obvious. They don't even try to hide it anymore. It's so blatant that they don't even care. They don't have any respect for the voter. But I want to tell you this. This morning I listened to a piece that was replayed about, oh, I don't know what time it was, but on NBC, one of the shows with Upchuck Todd, the stooge of the left, was interviewing a woman I never heard of who used to work, I think, for a Republican campaign. And she came up with a punchline that she said is now popular in Washington called Lose with Cruz. They're openly laughing about it. Listen to clip one.
You didn't do the bumper sticker.
Well, they did buy me a domain name last night when I shared this rumor, or this talk around Washington, that Lose with Cruz is becoming a bit of a punchline at the end of these
better
conversations.
Better to lose with Cruz.
I'm going to wrap it up on that note.
Too stuck with Trump.
Yeah.
Or to get something
I didn't hear
Trump.
That. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Okay, so you hear what the media is laughing about? They're openly laughing about Lose with Cruz. In other words, that's what they want. That's what they got. Now, that's one topic I'm going to talk about. Certainly not all of them. There are other topics. So far, we're talking about the election last night in Wisconsin, the inside story of it, of Lose with Cruz, how Bernie Sanders of Jewish descent is more anti-Semitic than the Ku Klux Klan, in my opinion. We're also going to talk about other topics that I think are important, which is, for example, in San Francisco, the lunatic leftists who have never run a hot dog stand passed a Family Leave Act, paid parental leave in San Francisco. And now on the face of it, you say, hey, that's okay. Parents, that's a family value. They should stay home and take care of their children. But do you know something about this measure, San Francisco's paid parental leave? The benefit applies to people who work at least 8 hours a week. If you work 8 hours a week in San Francisco, you're entitled to 12 weeks of paid family leave. This is simply a business-killing initiative passed by the know-nothing communists who run the city. There's another topic I'm going to touch on. Mississippi governor has signed a religious liberty bill. And, of course, the gay and lesbians hate it. But what is the religious liberty bill? What is in the religious liberty bill? I will talk about that. And here is another topic. In Oregon, at an unknown college, Portland Community College, which is about on the level of Trenton State, they're running a Whiteness History Month. 100 events attacking white people at 4 Portland Community College campuses and at community centers across the city. I will play some sound, and you will understand the racism against whites that is now passing for academia in far too many places. That opens lines to the Savage Nation. 855-407-282 is the phone number. If you care to sound off on the election, on Trump, on Cruz, on Mississippi religious liberty, on paid family leave in San Francisco, on whiteness history, on Bernie Sanders, as I say, he should be forced to resign from the campaign for his anti-Semitism. All these topics and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Again, I have no skin in the game whether Donald wins or loses. I mean, it's not about me, it's about America. I want to stop the Clinton machine from taking over the country and dragging us further down the road of disaster. It's that simple. The greatest threat we all face, gay or straight, black or white, is the Muslim juggernaut attacking the West. Hillary denies it exists. Trump said that it exists. He said he would stop it by banning the importation of any more Muslims until we can, quote, figure this thing out. He surged in the polls when he did that because the average person knows about survival. But as I said at the beginning, I guess the Muslim terrorists haven't hit us hard enough yet. You forgot San Bernardino. You forgot Boston. You forgot Paris. You forgot Brussels. It's nothing to you. It's politics as usual in this crazy nation of ours. Topic number two. Sanders says Israel killed 10,000 Palestinians. Even the Palestinians say it was 1,500. Sanders should withdraw from the race immediately. If there were legitimate Jewish groups in America, they would be rioting, demanding that he withdraw from the race. But as you well know, the loudest voices in the Jewish community are all left-wing fanatics. Paid family leave in San Francisco. You only have to work 8 hours a week to qualify for 12 weeks off a year. Who's going to pay for it, idiots? What is the Mississippi Religious Liberty Bill? I'll tell you about that, and also what whiteness history really is a cover for, which is anti-white racism in the colleges. You're going to listen to the sound and you'll agree with me. Those are the topics. Let's take the calls. Ethan, WMAL in Washington, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just want to make it known that either if it's Trump or Cruz as the nominee, I'm going to vote for him either, because I know in my heart of hearts, any vote that's not cast for a Republican in this election is a vote for Hillary Clinton, and we both know that's going to be the destruction of our country. However, I think that the reason why Trump is less... The reason why I think that Trump is weaker against Hillary is the fact, is the same reason why Romney was weaker to Obama, and the fact that Obama instituted Obamacare, and that was his Achilles heel. Everyone hated it. That was his biggest weakness. And the Republicans, the one man who instituted the same thing in his own state and put him against Obama. Now, the comparison, I feel like, is Hillary Clinton only has one person who has higher unfavorability rates, and that is Mr. Trump.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? She had higher unfavorability ratings than Trump amongst who?
Amongst everyone across the board. Women, Hispanics.
Hold it. Wait, who ran the poll? Wolf Blitz's brother-in-law? Jake Tapper's sister-in-law? I mean, who ran the poll? What do you mean unfavorability? What does that actually mean?
They're on her unfavorability rates of more people that...
No, I understand. I read the same garbage that's put out by the same haters in the media. I get it. The same worms who do everything else put out these false polls. I disagree with you. Trump has an enormous popularity, including amongst white-collar white people, blue-collar white people, rather. It's hard to remember which color the collar is and what color the race is. But the fact is that the blue-collar white man who has basically stopped voting a long time ago because he was not being represented has come out in droves. Even union workers love Trump. They don't have the same emotional attachment to Cruz. Can you explain to me why a blue-collar white man who would come out for Trump would come out and vote for Hillary? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all, and I'm speaking as a blue collar. I'm 22 years old. I'm working in my father's body shop. I'm on the phone with you. I listen to you every day. I got to listen to you every day. But, you know, I'm conservative in many ways, but I see where Trump is getting. I understand where he's coming from, and I agree with most of what he says. But I don't want to put someone against Hillary that's going to falter.
Okay, so let's talk about that. I believe that Trump can beat Hillary. I believe Cruz cannot beat Hillary. Why do you think Cruz can beat Hillary?
Because I think Hillary is the weakest Democratic candidate they have had in the last two decades.
All right, that's a fair statement, but Cruz does not engender the excitement amongst the electorate that Trump does. Trump will bring out millions of men like you, and Cruz will not. They will not vote for Cruz. He doesn't excite them.
I think the same people that resonate with Trump will, in November, vote for Cruz because the same rhetoric that Trump's talked about Hillary is the same that Cruz has.
Well, I don't know. If Cruz is the nominee, let's hope that he can do it. I certainly wouldn't vote for Hillary if my life depended on it. I don't want a Polish-style communism before Glasnost. That's where she would drag us, to a pre-Glasnost Poland. Some East European, nightmarish, central government.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, Savage.
And what I'm going to do now is very important for you. And I'm going to read from a chapter called Saving a Nation with Nationalism from Government Zero. This is the most important political book of this cycle. It's still in the bookstores. And whether you buy it or not is not going to change my lifestyle one iota, but it will change your mind. Saving a Nation with Nationalism may help you understand what's going on in this election. So I'll read a few paragraphs. How's that? From Government Zero. So here's what I wrote. I said, it's time to abandon conservatism as the defining principle of our movement. It has become meaningless. Conservative has come to mean anything anyone who joins the Republican Party says it means. It means small government to one person and big government to another. It means military interventionism to one and isolationism to another. It is nationalism to one and internationalism to another. Any movement that can include Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, Donald Trump isn't a movement at all. It has no defining principles. It is merely a buoy in the ocean to cling to while gainsaying the other side. We've tried that approach in election after election. It hasn't worked. The progressive juggernaut continues to swamp us while radical Islam attempts to finish us off. Don't get me wrong. I remain as much a conservative as I've ever been in the true sense of the word. I seek to conserve those long-standing social and legal traditions that have protected our individual liberty and national greatness for hundreds of years. That's what conservatism really means in the classic sense. But when Jeb Bush can promote Common Core in our schools, open borders, and Spanish as a second American language, and call it conservatism, the word has lost its meaning, just as has the word liberal lost its meaning. At one time, liberal meant laissez-faire capitalism, limited government, and personal liberty. Well, I believe in each of those principles, they are missing one important component that makes the rest of them possible. Duty. Liberty and prosperity are not possible without commitment to preserve and defend the nation, without which their existence is impossible. This is really good writing, by the way. You've not heard it anywhere else. It's not normal rhetoric. It's on a level of, it's good. Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. I conclude here by saying, I'm not talking about being enslaved to the government. I'm talking about responsibility to the nation. And here's something that I italicized in my book. The nation and the government are not the same thing. That's what the progressives don't understand. Our forefathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to each other, not to any government. The government is just a tool. It can be a means toward preserving the nation or destroying it. I don't think I have to tell you how it's been used for as long as you or I can remember. Decade after decade, the progressives have chipped away at those traditions that defined America as different from every other nation in history. Then the Obama administration came along and replaced the chisels with bulldozers. To counter that, we offered Mitt Romney. Romney is a fine man and loves the country, I think, but he obviously wasn't the answer. He offered what amounted to light progressivism. He wanted to keep the good parts of Obamacare. He wanted to blow up the education bubble even further, just as Obama did. He supported NSA spying and even Obama's horrifying claim that he can kill an American citizen on American soil on his own authority. In spite of these positions, Romney was deemed too conservative by the worms in the media. That's why I say the word has no meaning anymore. True conservatives know what it means, but they didn't come out to vote for Romney. They will not come out to vote for another light progressive like Jeb Bush either. Besides, what good does it do to elect him? We already had light progressivism with his brother. Jeb is even more progressive than George W. Listen to the last paragraph from Government Zero. We need a fundamental political alteration of the monopoly game. I've been saying we need a nationalist candidate for years. Real Americans are starving for one. If a truly nationalist candidate ran as a Republican, he would win the nomination and the general election by a landslide. But if we're going to put a nationalist candidate forward, we need to know what he or she would look like. And then, of course, enter Donald Trump. And then I define nationalism versus conservatism, and I'm glad to see that an esteemed intellect such as Pat Buchanan has suddenly discovered that Trump is a nationalist. Very good, Pat. Good going. I'm glad that you read Government Zero. But neither of us defined the term nationalism. I'm glad you got to first base with it, though. But it's all in Government Zero. And I want you to check the book out, and I want you to read it if you have the book. Because coming into this election, there's no more important document, and you must arm yourself with the truth. Now let's go to the callers. WMAL in Washington. Chris, what's your topic, please?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just have two quick points. First of all, you don't have to be an anti-Semite to be against Israel. There are plenty of...
All right. I've heard this false argument before. I'm sure that you're a good man in your own mind. Do you know who Martin Luther King Jr. is?
Yes.
Who is he? Who was he?
A civil rights activist in the 60s.
Well, I will quote him. He said, make no mistake about it. People who claim that they're anti-Zionist, but not anti-Semitic, are lying. If you're anti-Zionist, you're anti-Semitic. Look it up. See if I'm making it up. He understood that the progressive left was going to attack Israel and say that they're not anti-Semitic. Now, why is it that they hate Israel and are so in love with fascist Palestinians or fascist Arab states? What is it about that?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I'm not here to answer your questions. You heard the question pretty good. You heard it. Why are you so in love with Arab nations and hate the Jewish nation so much?
I'm not. I don't. I just think that America...
Have you ever spent any time in the Middle East in any of the countries?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. So you get all your information from where? The Daily Kos? Where do you get it from?
Drudge, I guess. They link a bunch of sources.
Okay. If you ever went to the Middle East and you didn't have a passport, which country would you rather wind up in? No passport. No one knows who you are. Where do you think you have a better chance of not winding up in a cell or dead? Israel? Let's see. Lebanon? Syria? Iraq? Which nation do you think you might have the best chance of surviving without a passport?
Listen, I'm not suggesting that...
No, you listen to me. You listen to me and get your head out of those stupid anti-Semitic websites you're reading and put your head into the real world. There is only one democracy in the Middle East, and it's Israel, despite its flaws. And for you to sit here and pontificate some rubbish that you read on the internet is an embarrassment to the human race. Thanks for the call. Have a nice day. Learn the truth. Bernie Sanders is an anti-Semite who should be forced to drop out of the race, not because he hates Israel. He has every right to hate Israel. But when he smears Israel with a big lie, saying they killed 10,000 Palestinians in the Gaza incursion or war, when even the Palestinians say it was 1,600, that tells you that Bernie Sanders is a dangerous demagogue, a liar, and by the way, he should be forced to resign from the campaign over this. And I'm speaking to the Hillary side. How do you like that? The Hillary side, who is pro-Israel, should make certain that Bernie Sanders pays big time for the big lie. Don't let him get away with it just because he calls himself Bernie and acts like a nice guy. He's not a nice guy. He's a vicious communist and a danger to the survival of this nation. And he should be brought down immediately. Other than that, we can move on to the other topics. What time is it now? I got to either take a break or a call, but I'll take both. But I'll take a good call. Let's see. KSFO, James, your topic must be important. You're on the radio. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I want to differ with you that I think Cruz is way more electable against Hillary, and I'll tell you three reasons. First, you need a woman GOP candidate. Trump cannot get the best ones. Cruz can. He can get Fiorina or Nikki Haley.
Wait, hold it. You think that Fiorina is a viable vice president? She's a retread. Fiorina never won an election. Haley is an anti-American. Why is she a viable vice president?
Yeah. Well, she is sharp. She has attacked Hillary effectively during...
Oh, no. Sure, come on. She's a nonentity. She just embarrassed herself recently. Both of these women should not be anywhere near him. And I'll go on record saying what I said before. Trump's greatest error thus far in his campaigns, one major error, is tying himself to Sarah Palin. The greatest mistake he has made thus far. She is old good. She's tied in with the old guard. She is not fresh as he is. He needs a fresh face for his vice presidential nominee. Not a Sarah Palin retread. She's an embarrassment.
Do you agree he cannot have a white male?
Who?
Trump. He has to have a woman. You need the credibility to attack Hillary with a woman.
Well, yes, I agree with you. That would be the ultimate choice, would be a black conservative woman.
Okay, secondly,
you went right over my statement. There are such people, by the way, who are quite intelligent, and they're actually in office, but no one ever heard of them, because your Republican Party put the black conservative women to the back of the bus. One of them, I believe, is from Salt Lake City. Do you know her name?
Morning.
You forgot her. She was one of the greatest victors in the election, the general election. She is a black conservative lady. She's a wonderful person. She'd be a perfect running mate for Donald Trump. And yet the establishment Republicans, who are probably racist to their bones, put her to the back of the bus.
Yep. It's also about credibility. People do not...
Oh, wait. What's her name? That's what we need. We need her name. What's her name?
I'll say quickly.
Her name is Love. L-O-V-E. Love, L-O-V-E. Never forget that name. Trump needs love. In fact, a Trump love ticket would create a lot of love Trump out there. That's pretty good. I think we should send that to the Trump campaign, that he should pick Love as his running mate. And then it would be a Trump love ticket. And then, of course, people would say, I love Trump, because Trump loves love.
Are you surprised, right, Michael?
So, yeah, he should pick a black conservative woman like Mrs. Love.
But Hillary is...
Any other comments? I'm waiting for the next go-around.
Okay, right on, man. All right,
thank you very much. At least you got your point across. Good, so I answered the question. He said, does Trump need a woman? Yes. Does he need Sarah Palin? He needs a Palin like he needs a nautical term. What is the bird that is extinct? Is it the dodo bird? Sarah Palin is the equivalent of a political dodo bird hanging around his neck. There's another metaphor, lead weight, whatever you want to say. She cannot ever appear with him again. She represents a failed past. She is almost an embarrassment, by the way. I know many of you will defend her. I get it. I understand that. I know all about the defenders of Sarah Palin. on a national level, she's a laughingstock and an embarrassment. And I don't want to go into the whole thing with the family and the trailer parks and the arrests and the drugs and the failed pregnancies. It's a nightmare. It's like a bad reality show. What does he need her for when there's such higher quality women out there? So, yes, he needs love. He needs Mrs. Love as his running mate. Or, conversely, or I wouldn't say conversely, an alternate to that lady would be a four-star general who Obama fired. Someone who on the campaign trail would tell the truth about what Obama has done to the military and what he would do as vice president to restore the fighting force to what it could be. That is another potential running mate. Who that is, I don't know. There's about four of them named in Government Zero who Obama has purged. And by the way, speaking of purging the military, get ready for this shock. This came out this morning. The fool who runs the Defense Department now, whose name I forget, the latest hack, the latest stooge of Obama, has said he's going to fire most of the generals, or many of the generals, because there are too many of them. He's purging the military now from the top down, probably replacing them with women generals who can't fire a pistol. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. As hour one draws to a conclusion of the Savage Nation, I'm going to ask you a question. Former Mexican President Vicente Fox is a stone-hearted anti-American racist, hates Trump in a way I've never seen, and yet he has nothing to say negative about Cruz. You know, that's very telling. The former president of Mexico wrote a scathing opinion piece in which he says, in the London Guardian newspaper, that Trump will drag the United States to the bottom of the ocean, all the way through the shores of ignorance, racism, hunger, and despair. That means the Mexicans may have to take care of their own poor. That's all he means. That means the Mexicans won't be able to send home $24 billion of dollars so that the leaders of Mexico can steal a lot of their money. But why is he not as concerned if Cruz wins? The answer is because he knows Cruz will not do what Trump said he will do. Build the wall and deport people. And so that's something for you to think about. Many of you love Cruz for good reasons or whatever your reasons are. But ask yourself why he poses no threat to people like Vicente Fox. Ask yourself that. What has Cruz said about immigration, by the way? What are his positions on immigration? Does he have a position on immigration? You know, I've watched this campaign. I don't know what Cruz stands for other than he wraps himself every other day in the Constitution. Well, you know what they say. They say that the last refuge of the you-know-what is patriotism. I've heard it myself. It's been applied to me. Believe me, I've heard it all. But other than wrapping himself in being a constitutional genius, what does Cruz actually stand for? I don't know what he stands for. I know what Trump stands for. That's another thing to think about. What is Cruz's position on immigration? I don't know. What is Trump's position on immigration? I do know. What is Cruz's position on Wall Street banks like Goldman Sachs? I don't know. That's because his wife Heidi works for one. It's a very fine investment bank, by the way. There's nothing wrong with working for a good investment bank like Goldman Sachs. They're the ones who know how business works. But he's really tied to the very element that you think he's going to take on. And that's why I think Trump is the best bet to take on Hillary. I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Truth is marching on. That is, since God's truth is marching on, let's try to see what the truth is about this campaign. Let's pick one issue that all of us can understand easily and try to figure out what you think is the best course for America's future going forward. Immigration. It's what put Trump on the map. He said he would build a wall with Mexico to stop the flood of illegals crossing into our country with impunity. He said he would stop bringing in Muslims from the Middle East until we can figure this thing out. Can any progressive liberal listening to this show, in your honest opinion, not just because you're a knee-jerk liberal who knows that in order to be accepted by your friends, you have to say you're in favor of hating Trump, tell me what the benefit to America would be to bring in 20,000 or 300,000 Muslim men of military age from the Middle East, as Obama promises to do? Can anyone tell me what the benefit to our society would be? Because I don't see it. So there's one issue. And as far as immigration goes, I know for a fact what Trump says he will do. Whether he can do it or will do it is another story. I don't know what Cruz's position is on immigration. Can anyone enlighten me on that? It's interesting that it's just a popularity contest, or I love this one, I hate that one. What is Hillary's position on bringing in Muslim refugees from the Middle East? She has the same position as the woman from Germany, whose name you probably don't know, the Chancellor of Germany, the former communist, the woman who looks like she should work in a beer hall slinging sausages and sauerkraut, Angela Merkel, who has invaded her own country with immigrants from Africa and the Middle East, destroying her nation's proud history, diluting their borders, language, and culture the same way Hillary would. How can that help America? How can that be good for America? Because if it was good for America, I'd be for it. But it's bad for America. At least that's how I see it. But what is Cruz's position on immigration? I don't know what it is. So let's stick to one issue for one moment. And then someone raised the issue in the last hour of who Trump should use as a running mate. And I said Mia Love, black conservative, born December of 1975. You never heard of her. She's a congresswoman from Utah's 4th Congressional District. She is the first Haitian American, the first black female Republican in Congress, the first African American to be elected to Congress from Utah. Why is it you never hear about her? Because the media is racist. That's number one. And more importantly, the Republican Party itself is racist. They put her at the back of the bus. That's number two. But I'd pick her. She was born to Haitian parents in Brooklyn, New York. At least she was born in America, unlike Ted Cruz. She was elected as the mayor of Saratoga Springs, Utah. Served from 2010 to 2014. She was on its city council. Anyway, the point is, you remember her maybe. She was a great speaker at the 2012 Republican National Convention. She electrified the audience. She is a congresswoman. Why is she not heard from? I would suggest that if the Trump people are listening to this show, that they really consider dropping Sarah Palin like the dodo bird she is from his campaign. And when you come back from this loss in Wisconsin, you come back with Mia Love. That's my suggestion. Now I'll take some callers on the Savage Nation. WFTL, Jason, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, how you doing? I just wanted to make a point regarding Bernie Sanders' comment regarding the 10,000 Palestinians. I believe he made that comment because he's a non-Jew, for lack of a better term, is that he wants the world to see that he's not siding with the Jews. He wants people
Yes, right, and the worst enemy of the Jews are people like him who say that they are non-practicing Jews, meaning to show that they're not Jewish, they become more anti-Semitic than the Ku Klux Klan.
Right. I think he's cut from the same cloth as Jerry Rubin, Abby Hoffman, except this time we have a politician in 2000.
I have a very clear position. He made a statement that is so categorically inflammatory and anti-Semitic that he should be forced to resign from the campaign by the Hillary campaign itself. I, frankly, am calling upon the Hillary Clinton campaign, which I know for a fact listens to talk radio, to make a huge issue of Bernie Sanders lying about the number of casualties in the Gaza incursion. He said 10,000. We know the fact from the Palestinians themselves was 1,600, which is a lie unto itself. So why would Bernie Sanders make such a lie? It's to show to the radical left in America that he's one of them. To show that although he was born of Jewish parents, he has eschewed his own religion, and that he's a reliable ally in the march to the former Soviet Union. He's a very dangerous demagogue. And so if he lied about the number of casualties there, what else is he lying about? Okay. So let's see Cruz's position on immigration. Secure the border once and for all. What does that mean? I think I've heard this for 20 years, so that means nothing. I'm reading from Cruz's website on immigration. First, secure the border once and for all. He doesn't say how he would do it. Strengthen and enforce existing immigration laws. Obama said the same thing. Means nothing. Pursue reforms to the legal immigration system that will prioritize the interests and well-being of Americans. That means he's in the pocket of big business who wants the cheap labor to go on. So you see, my friends, when you really analyze their positions, Cruz is no different than Jeb Bush on immigration. I mean, to be very clear, if you like Jeb Bush, you're going to love Cruz on immigration. If you like Lindsey Graham on immigration, you're going to love Ted Cruz. And this distinguishes him from Donald Trump. Forget about the Constitution. I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. I'm sick and tired of him wrapping himself in that rhetoric of the Constitution like he wrote it. He didn't write it. He inherited it like we all did. So let him stop wrapping himself in the Constitution already. It's getting to be old news. He may as well come on the stage wrapped in a flag like Jerry Rubin. Where does he stand on immigration? Nowhere. Nowhere. He's a big business CFR on immigration, which is why Trump is the better candidate for those of us who believe in borders, language, and culture, and in nationalism. As I point out, in government zero. Okay, WFTL, Nikos, line five. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage, you say you don't know Ted Cruz's real positions. Nobody does because he speaks in generalities all the time. That's he feel-good talk, generalities, and the passive voice, which is the border will be secured. By whom? By somebody. Unanswered question. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is crystal clear. He tells you what he's going to do and how he's going to do it.
In other words, Trump has put himself on the line saying, I will build the wall. He's repeated it over and over again. And if he doesn't build the wall, he'll be called a liar in his campaign. Even if he won the presidency, his presidency would crumble. Cruz is so generic, you don't know what he stands for, so he can never be called on the carpet for it. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And furthermore, on employment, unemployment as a result of immigration, he's very general on that. He just said wages will go up and truck drivers will be driving trucks again. Well, if wages go up, that's fine. But what about the unemployed for the last 10 years? How are they going to get their jobs back? How are they going to bring the factories back? It doesn't even begin.
Well, all right, but Trump says he will get the factories back, and he gave specifics on my show just this Monday. He said it on my show. It didn't make it to any of the websites, but he said it very clearly. We will tax companies that move out of America. We'll hit them with a high tax. He was very clear on it. Why is Cruz opposed to doing that? Because he is a CFR type of personality. Council on Foreign Relations, Better Business Bureau, big government disguised as small government. I know what Cruz is. He's a phony through and through.
Donald said it very clearly. He's the stealth, he's the Trojan horse candidate. Once he gets inside, all the Wall Streeters, all the oligarchs, everything will just burst right out of his belly, just like a monster movie, and that'll be it. He will have lost another chance to turn the country around, not stop the decline or arrest it, but turn the country around.
I was fair to the discussion. I went on his website and looked up his position on immigration. I wanted to be as specific as I could. It seemed to me so generic it had no meaning whatsoever. I've heard the same rubbish for 20 years. I heard it from Bush 1, Bush 2. I heard it from Romney. I heard it from Jeb Bush. I heard it from Lindsey Graham. So the same thing that they have espoused, which is virtually nothing, is what Ted Cruz is proposing for immigration enforcement, which is nil. Trump is very clear. Build the wall and prevent the immigration of Muslims until we can figure this thing out. I like clarity, and I think that's why he's popular.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Stay on the line, because I think of all the people who have called us for, you'd appreciate it the most. Did you buy a copy yet of Government Zero? Because you're getting a free one right now. A fresh hardcover copy to carry you right through the election. It is a very important document for everyone to look at. FTW Radio, Rich, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your position on which topic?
Yeah, I think Mr. Trump is in a really good position right now. Even though he's getting a lot of bad press and supposedly he lost Wisconsin, actually did very well in Wisconsin. There are 72 counties in the state. He won 44 of them. Despite the fact the Republican establishment threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at him, and who knows how many tens of millions of dollars, and the governor's endorsement, and the sitting speaker of the House endorsement, et cetera, he got 35% of the vote, and Cruz did not get to the magic 50. And there's an interesting parallel here between Trump's position right now and Reagan's position in 1980. Reagan ran the table the last 13 or 14 primaries in 1980 to close out George H.W. Bush. Trump has 16 primaries remaining, all of them closed primaries where only the voters get to vote. Okay, no more caucuses where the party hacks can give their votes to Cruz because they're trying to feather their nest with the establishment. Trump's in a good position here to run the table and take it home.
I want to know how many Democrats conspired with the Republican establishment, even Scott Walker, to take the election into Cruz's hands. Is there any evidence that the Democrats crossed over to vote for Cruz?
Well, it's an open primary. And there was a very remarkable turnout, 47% is the highest.
Please explain to the Savage Nation audience what you just said. What is an open primary?
Well, an open primary means that anyone, regardless of party affiliation, can vote in the given primary. In other words, Wisconsin has a number of small...
Wait, so does that mean that a Democrat could have gone and voted for Ted Cruz?
Sure. Yeah, there's absolutely
to
prevent it.
Oh, really? Very interesting, isn't it? Really? No one seems to have talked about that with all of the geniuses in the media. How many Democrats were told to go out and vote for Cruz because they know that Trump could beat Hillary and Cruz can't? My friend, you just won a free copy of Government Zero. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Cruz won Wisconsin. Politico is reporting right now that he is suddenly cozying up to the GOP establishment. The very establishment he claims to oppose, he is reaching out to. Me. I'll quote them. The Texas senator tries to make nice with fellow Republican senators who mostly despise him. By Katie Gluck and Burgess Everett of Politico. Here's the article. He's disparaged his own Republican leader as a liar and dismissed fellow senators as part of the Washington cartel. He got that from me, by the way, when I talked about the radio cartel, the media cartel, soon thereafter the Cruz campaign was using the phrase Washington cartel. But now with his presidential prospects hanging in the balance, Ted Cruz is moving closer than ever to the D.C. establishment. Directly and through surrogates, the Texas senator is aggressively reaching out to his Senate colleagues as he prepares for the possibility of a convention floor fight against Donald Trump. And so he's doing the very opposite of what he said he would do. He got an endorsement from the, I don't know how to even characterize Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is not a centrist. Lindsey Graham is a backstabbing nightmare. He endorsed Cruz. He also got an endorsement from Mike Lee, whoever he is. So you could say, well, it's politics as usual. And Phil Graham, you know who he is. With Cruz, we can win the election, hold the Senate, said former Senator Phil Graham. Phil Graham is about as relevant as yesterday's snow in Lake Tahoe. He was washed away with the rains that followed. But, of course, that is how politics works. He knows where the skeletons are buried, and so he's a useful tool to reach out to the sterling members of Congress that he still has association with. And we'll have to see what comes down the road here. I think I've explained my position, your position, what I think. And I don't think it's over till it's over. And I opened my show very clearly by saying, I guess the Muslim terrorists haven't hit us hard enough yet. I guess San Bernardino is now a folk song. Certainly Boston is a forgotten memory. ISIS is trying to acquire nuclear material. Muslim terrorist cells are being investigated in all 50 states. A leader who won't even say Muslim terrorism. And only one man has mentioned the word Muslim at all in the campaign, Donald Trump. And now you understand why the establishment, and the Republican establishment in particular, loves Ted Cruz. Because on this and so many other issues, he is in coordination with the Democrats, meaning the Republicrats, meaning the Demicans, meaning the one-party cartel that has been running the country for so many years. So if you want to lose with Cruz, as they said this morning on NBC, be my guest. I have no skin in the game except my fear for the future of America and my love for America itself. If Cruz was more forceful on the border, I'd be for Cruz. If Cruz was as in love with the military as Donald Trump is, I'd be for Cruz. If Cruz didn't have as deep ties with Wall Street as he does, I'd be for Cruz. So it's not a personal choice for me. It's a political choice for me, as I hope it will be for you. When I come back, Bernie Sanders says Israel killed 10,000 Palestinians. A big lie, like Hitler itself.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Let me be very clear if I haven't been clear enough. I have no skin in the game, Trump or Cruz. I don't gain anything if either of them win. The only thing I care about is America and America's national security, in particular, America's borders, language, and culture, which is why I have backed Trump from the beginning. He's very specific. He says he will build a wall, which means if he doesn't, he will have a real tough presidency. On immigration, Cruz is very nonspecific. He gives homilies. He repeats the same generalities as we've heard from Romney, from Bush, from Jeb Bush, from George Bush, from the first Bush. I see no difference between his position and that of the Bushes. And therefore, I am concerned that Cruz will do nothing with regard to the immigration problems that we have in this country. As far as the Muslim issue, let's be very clear. Donald Trump is on record saying he will stop the immigration of Muslims. He meant specifically Muslims from the Middle East who are flooding Europe as a result of Hillary Clinton's disastrous Arab Spring policies. And he said he will not let them into this country because he's concerned about Muslim men of military age arriving. He doesn't want them here. Now, what benefit would it be to this country to bring them in? I'd like to hear from a progressive who can speak intelligently and tell me, other than the fact that in general you're for immigration, but you don't know why, because your friends are? Have you thought it through? And then I challenge those of you who like Bernie Sanders, who are Jewish, who are not, let's say, I don't know how you could be a Jewish and like Bernie Sanders and not be a communist. I don't quite understand that. It seems to me one and the same in that he's espousing Karl Marx's protocols almost to the last letter of Marx's Das Kapital. There's almost no difference between him and Bernie Sanders, other than Bernie Sanders has no appeal whatsoever. He's a laughingstock to those of us who've studied Das Kapital. The fact of the matter is, I suggest that Hillary Clinton's campaign take Bernie Sanders' big lie about 10,000 Jews being killed, Palestinians being killed by Israelis, and make him demand that he withdraw from the race. And I hope that Hillary's people are listening to this show. They know it's a thought leader. They know that. Believe me, I don't have to explain it to them or beg them. I want to play for you again this kind of blood libel against Israel that you would hear from the Ku Klux Klan or the Nazi Party in their heyday, but this is coming from Bernie Sanders himself. Try to hear it very carefully. It was during an interview with the anti-Trump Daily News.
I'm just telling you that I happen to believe. Anybody help me out here, because I don't remember the figures, but my recollection is over 10,000 innocent people were killed in Gaza. I don't have it in my number, but I think it's over 10,000. My understanding is that a whole lot of apartment houses were leveled. Hospitals, I think, were bombed. So, you know, yeah, I do believe, yeah. And I don't think I'm alone in believing
that believing.
Israel's force was more indiscriminate than it should have been.
So why would a person of Jewish descent repeat a big lie that exceeds even that of Palestinian sources who only said that 1,462 Palestinians were killed in the war? Why would Bernie Sanders up it to 10,000? It's pretty clear this is what passes for logic amongst the radical left. Now, Sanders' comments attacking Israel came just 2 weeks after he became the only candidate in the race to turn down an invitation to speak at the annual American-Israel Public Affairs Committee conference in Washington, D.C. Hillary Clinton spoke there. She received a standing ovation. And she spoke about the importance of defending Israel. Sanders gave a policy speech from Utah about the importance of security for every Palestinian. Can anyone listening to this program who is of Jewish descent, who is not a communist, tell me why you would vote for this man? If you're of Jewish descent and you're a communist, please don't call the show, because I know why you hate Israel. I understand that. Is there anyone out there who agrees with me that if Donald Trump had said Israel indiscriminately killed 10,000 Palestinians, there'd be a media bloodbath demanding that he resign? Why are they not screaming that Sanders resign immediately? Why does the media highlight the slightest hiccup of Donald Trump and permit this racist communist Bernie Sanders to get away with a big lie, something along the lines of what we were told occurred in the 1930s? It's very dangerous rhetoric. And there are other topics I want to talk about. Paid family leave in San Francisco. No one's called on that. It's very interesting. It's a job killer. It's a business killer. It's something that losers, that only leaders of San Francisco's Board of Supervisors could pass. The benefit applies to new mothers and fathers who work at least 8 hours a week. They will be given 12 fully paid weeks to spend time with their new child. Now, you know and I know what this is about. You know what this measure is about. You know that the people who will be given 12 weeks off, who work 8 hours a week, are basically part-time illegal alien workers. You know and I know they're going to work during those 12 weeks to put more money in their pocket, to send more money home to their home country at no taxes. People who work for the city and county of San Francisco already receive up to 12 weeks of paid leave. New York City offers 6 weeks of fully paid leave to its non-union employees. So why would San Francisco, as left-wing as it is, pass a measure yesterday making it the first place in the nation to require private businesses to provide fully paid leave for new mothers and fathers, when it applies to mothers and fathers who work only 8 hours a week? How is that even possible? If you were an illegal alien in America and you just knocked out a baby, wouldn't you think that this would encourage you to go get a note from someone saying you're working 8 hours a week, doing something like child care from someone's friend? Sure, Maria, we'll give you. Well, you get 12 weeks vacation at full pay. Who is going to pay for this? How are businesses going to pay for this? California, New Jersey, and Rhode Island offer partial pay for new parents through state disability insurance programs. New York approved legislation last month that calls for partial pay for up to 12 weeks. So why would they do this? Another issue is Mississippi. Governor Phil Bryant passed a religious liberty bill that's opposed by the LGBT activists. What is in the religious liberty bill that is so dangerous? The answer is nothing. What does the Mississippi Religious Liberty Bill actually say? Here it is. One, religious organizations such as churches cannot be forced to use their facilities to celebrate or solemnize weddings that violate their beliefs, meaning they will not be forced by the state to perform gay weddings. Two, religious convents, universities, and social service organizations can continue to maintain personnel and housing policies which reflect their beliefs. Religious adoption agencies can continue to operate by the conviction that every child they serve deserves to be placed with a married mother and father. What's wrong with that one? Bakers, photographers, florists, and similar wedding-specific vendors cannot be forced to use their talents to celebrate same-sex weddings if they cannot do so in good conscience. Tell me what's wrong with that. If you believe in the individual freedom, which gives you the right to have sex with the same-sex person, why don't you accept it as a freedom for those who are Christians to practice their religion? Doesn't it work two ways? The bill says state employees cannot be fired for expressing their beliefs about marriage outside the office. And individual state clerks can opt out of issuing marriage licenses so long as no valid marriage license is delayed or impeded, meaning another one could do it for them. Counselors and surgeons cannot be required to participate in gender identity transitioning or sex reassignment surgeries against their faith and convictions while guaranteeing that no one is denied emergency care or visitation rights. What is wrong with that? Private businesses and schools, not bureaucrats, get to set their own bathroom, shower, and locker room policies. Tell me what's wrong with that. Unless you're a member of the 0001% of people who want to impose your gender confusion upon everyone around you. And so for that reason, I think that the Religious Liberty Bill for Mississippi is a very important one. If you care to comment on it, go ahead. Make my day. Let's take some calls. KSFO, Jody, welcome to the program. What's your topic?
Hi, I was calling because I wanted to say that, you know, you're one of the only ones who sticks to his guns with Trump about, you know, we're either voting for life or death. You know, Trump represents life, and all of the other candidates represent death. And I wanted to ask you a question on that topic. Regarding people who are so hung up with the abortion topic, like they are hung up on the ability to kill their own child. These same people want to vote for people who are going to leave the borders open to people who are going to come and want to kill their children. Why is that?
Well, I don't want to get into the subject. I think I'll get dragged into a topic where there's a no winner. Look, let me tell you a big note right now. I think you have to understand what I'm doing is making news. I talked about this, and I want you to quote me. This should be spread on Times Square in neon lights. I'll quote myself. I know where Trump stands on immigration. I don't know where Cruz stands. I know where Trump stands on the big banks. I don't know where Cruz stands. Maybe because his wife works for Goldman Sachs. And that's why I think Trump is the best to take on Hillary. Do you understand what I am saying to you? Do you understand how important this differential is? You know, whether you're for Cruz or not, you better be very clear on the fact that he's mush on immigration. His positions, which I read from his own website, are not clear. They're generic. They could have been written by Jeb Bush, George Bush, Lindsey Graham, Bob Dole, Mitt Romney, all the same gibberish. Let's secure the borders. I've heard that from Barack Obama himself. So Cruz does not stand for anything on immigration. If you really care about the topic, there's only one candidate who does, and that's Donald Trump. And that's why I'm for Donald Trump. He's put himself on the line. He has said what he will do. Cruz has not said what he will do. Cruz is nonspecific. So if you're into a popularity contest because you like the way he parts his hair better, or you like the way his smile is as opposed to Trump's smile, well, I can't help you. I'm a man of ideas, not of smiles. I don't care how a man's teeth or hair look. And that's why I implore you to study the candidates very carefully. Government Zero, Michael Savage, very important book. I suggest you read it if you have it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Well, you know, it's a laughing thing, you know, to the average person out there. It's a spring day, there's baseball, there's this, there's that. They're paying a lot of attention to it. They have their opinions already that, whatever, I can't generalize what the average person thinks. I pretty much know what the average person thinks at this point. But I'm dealing with specifics. And thus far today, I've told you why I support Trump. To me, it's not a popularity contest. I'm not choosing them over the looks. I'm choosing them over positions, number one, and who can beat Hillary, number two. in my opinion. And so as I said to you, on immigration, Donald Trump is on record. I'll build that wall. He repeated it numerous times. He repeated it on my show on Monday. On Muslims, he stood by his... He was ripped to shreds. They called him every name under the sun, even though Europe is now closing their door to the very Muslims that Trump has said he would not let into this country. He never said anything about Muslims living here already. He said he will not let Muslims into the country until, quote, we can figure this thing out. Can any progressive or Hillary supporter call the show now or in the next hour and tell me the advantage to America to bringing in millions of men of military age of the Muslim faith from the Middle East? Anyone study what's going on in Europe? Why even liberal nations have slammed the door shut to them? So, I mean, if you use logic and you don't just go along with the party line, you'd have to agree that Trump has the right position on immigration. Hillary is for open borders. Hillary stands for the same thing Merkel does, which is the end of borders, language, and culture. So if you hate America, if you say you're a citizen of the world, whatever that means, which is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life, we're all citizens of the world. I get that. To God, we're all equal. I understand that as well. But in terms of individual freedoms, you're more free here than in any country on earth. You have more opportunity in this country than any country on earth. Why would you want to dilute that? Why would an idiot, like the idiot who runs Facebook, the guy with the undershirt, whose name I forget, Zuckerface, why would this man want open borders? Why would this man disparage America when he's done so well here? I think you can pretty much figure that out. He wants cheap labor. He wants to bring in as many Indians as he can to work for $20 an hour, $25 an hour, as opposed to IT workers here in America who were making $65 to $75 an hour. You see, to the greedy people who run these companies like that, there's no limit to their greed. There's no limit whatsoever. And that's why we need to clamp down on the H-1B visas, which Donald Trump talked about as well. Where does Ted Cruz stand on H-1B visas, Robert? So far as I checked, he never made a statement about H-1B visas, especially after he visited Silicon Valley. So again, to me, it's not a matter of who smiles more, or whose hair looks better, or whose wife is better looking, or who has a squeaky voice and who doesn't. And the voice itself, by the way, I'm telling you, I'm an expert on voice. If you listen to Cruz's voice, there's a certain squeakiness in it that will doom him in a general face-off with Hillary Clinton, who is more macho than he is. Hillary Clinton has more testosterone at this stage of her life than does Ted Cruz. And you could take that to the bank. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back for another hour right here on your local station.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I love nightclub performers. They're the best. All right, this is from Broadway Danny Rose, a Woody Allen movie of many years ago. Nick Apollaforte did this song. I never forgot it. It was so much fun to watch that I thought I needed a break from the Cruz Trump war. And I would just play some music that might lighten the moment. Here's some headlines for those of you who are wiling and dialing 855-407-2822. Fiat Chrysler cuts 1,300 workers in Michigan. Scraps shift. Fiat Chrysler said on Wednesday is laying off about 1,300 workers indefinitely and ending one of the two shifts at its Sterling Heights, Michigan plant that makes the slow-selling midsize Chrysler 200 sedan. U.S. sales of the Chrysler 200 were down 63%, blah, blah, blah. The layoffs will be effective July 5th. Now, if we had socialism in America, the socialist government would step in and say, you cannot fire these workers. You're going to have to pay them whether they produce a car or not. And then we would have what they had in England through the 1950s and 60s, which is very slow production, Lucas wiring and Jaguars that caught fire in the showroom. and things of that nature. I don't think we want to go there. What's interesting to me about the Fiat Chrysler story is that the small car is not selling well, but they can't make enough of the fast Dodges like I have, the Dodge Hellcat, which, by the way, I rarely drive. I mean, I have an all-black one with a great interior. I just wanted to talk about cars for a minute because I'm a car nut. You know, I never talk about my car collection. I have a small collection of cars. It's my hobby. I sold my boat 3 years ago, and instead I put all of my, it's a hobby. I have a 1961 Jaguar XK150 drophead coupe, black, restored, gorgeous, shines like in a showroom. And that's where it sits, is in the showroom, because each time I drive it, I have to take it to the mechanic. It's still true about Jaguars. They purr like kittens, but you don't want to take them on a long trip. Gorgeous to look at in a garage. In that sense, I become Italian, where they have their Ferraris in their garages, their barn garages in Italy. And they sit and smoke cigars and they drink wine with their friends looking at the cars, but they know better than to drive a Ferrari. I also have a 1970, that's a black one, I have a 1970 XKE Roadster, one of those beautiful cars in the world. It has independent rear suspension. It's astonishing to drive. I love that car. I also don't drive it much. Because I've had them fixed up. I restored a lot of, you know, a lot of it. A couple of different mechanics, and they run well, and that's all I want to take it to that level. I don't want a show car that I can't drive. I have a Dodge Hellcat, a black one, that Chrysler pulled off the production line for me when you couldn't get them. Remember that? It's astonishing to drive it. It's more fun than a Ferrari. This is like a big Ferrari, the Hellcat, in a straight line. You don't want to race it around corners. It has no cornering whatsoever. It's just very much like a 70s Dodge in handling. But it's so fast, it's awesome. It does make your blood move. Let's see, I have a 2006 Chevrolet van that I used to go to the airport with to bring baggage to and from the airport. It sits under a cover most of the time. It's one of these giant, you know, conversion vans. I love this thing. And my daily car is a car I bought new in 2008. It is a blue, a dark blue S600 that should live in auto history because this car is featured in two of my novels, actually one of the novels, Abuse of Power, where my character, Jack Hatfield, drives it. He gave it a name. He calls it Wilhelm. And I do occasionally call the car Wilhelm when I'm speeding in it and no one sees me. I pat Wilhelm on the dashboard and I say, good boy, you did a great job. Good boy, Wilhelm. So that's my car stuff. So when I see the story that Chrysler is laying off all these workers on a production line that sells on a slow-selling mid-sized Chrysler 200, I have to remind you that people don't want slow cars unless they're Bernie voters. Bernie voters like small cars. They think that they're morally superior for driving cars that can't get out of their own way. And boy, do they hate you if you pass them. Why is it all of these mean people in these kinds of cars block someone in a faster car? I mean, you want to drive a small car that's fuel efficient, good luck to you. Stay in the right lane where you belong. You were not made a traffic cop just because you bought a Prius. It did not come with a traffic cop's uniform. Stay in the right lane where you belong. Don't block those of us who have fast cars and want to get somewhere fast. We have something to do, unlike you. At least that's what I think as I pass them on the right because they won't let me pass them on the left. And, of course, the greatest fun living in the Bay Area is there's a thing called Waldo Grade here, coming out of Marin County, going into a tunnel that used to be known as the Waldo Tunnel until it was named for a comedian who hung himself in his garage, which is typical of the San Francisco area, that they would name a public passageway, not for a war hero who died in combat, but for a comedian who hung himself in his garage with a belt. But as you come out of Marin County going up to the Waldo grade, it's a very steep grade. That's where finally you see the people in the slow cars fuming. They can't get up that grade at more than 40 miles an hour. And that's one of the great pleasures of having a fast car. Just a little note, things that people do. And that's the beginning of the show. If you want to go back to the cruise thing, go ahead, be my guest. You want to talk Trump, go ahead, be my guest. But, you know, I raised a couple of other issues, which is immigration. And I said, Trump is specific. I'll build a wall. I will stop bringing in Muslims until we can figure this thing out. And I said, Cruz is nonspecific on immigration. And then I challenge progressives to call a show and tell me of what social benefit is there to bring immigrants into the nation. And we have some callers on that, and I would like to hear that other side, by the way, because I can't figure it out. You know that even Mexicans who are here don't want illegals to come in? Do you understand that? Do you know the Chinese who are living here three generations don't want illegal aliens coming in from China? Do you know that? I don't think you understand the subtleties of this issue, that it has very little to do with race. It has everything to do with a nation's survival. Why is it that Mexicans who are in this country one generation, two generations, vehemently oppose illegal immigration? Why is it that the black leaders who are all phonies don't say a word about illegal immigrants coming in from from Mexico and Central America who are taking the jobs that poor black people should be having? Why is it they say nothing? Because they're phonies, because they don't represent the African-American community in any way whatsoever. That's one man's opinion. Okay, let's take some calls. Kevin, Line 8, WABC, New York City. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, where are you if, let's say, your great-great-great-grandfather didn't come to this country? Where are you today?
It makes no sense for two reasons what you're saying. This is an unthought-out position that you have. When my grandfather came here in, I think it was 1913, and he had to leave his family behind and work 7 years to bring them over, there was no welfare state. Either you made it in this country or you fell on the wayside. Today, it's a different story. We can't afford to give every immigrant who comes here health care and welfare. Don't you understand that?
We shouldn't. Absolutely not. I'm not saying we should.
Well, you just did. You said you compared it to my grandfather, maybe even your grandfather. They came here. There was no welfare state waiting for them. So when you see the Emma Lazarus statement on the Statue of Liberty, which says, give me, you're tired, you're poor, and you're hungry, you say, well, why shouldn't it be like that today? The answer is because there was no welfare state then. The reason they brought in the tired, the poor, and the hungry was to work in the sweatshops of New York and to work in the coal mines of Pennsylvania. They weren't doing it out of any noble reasons. They came here to break their backs and either make it or die. So don't think it was so noble, give me, you're tired, you're poor, and you're hungry. It was a fraudulent statement. They put them to work in the sweatshops. They lived 16 to a room, and there was no welfare. We can't afford them, that's why. It's not a racial thing. It's an economic thing.
Boy, where should they start? Right at the top and work their way down?
Well, you're not answering the question. Again, you're not thinking what you're saying. You think that we should support all of the world's poor?
No. You should work for what you have.
So how can you bring them in if they're on welfare? What percent of the immigrant population receives some sort of public assistance? Do you know the fact?
I don't know that. You do.
I do. It's very high. It's over 50%, if not higher, 60% maybe, of immigrants to this country receive some sort of public benefit. Where does that money come from? It comes from your pocket, my friend.
Okay.
All right, so I think you're a reasonable man who will think about your position, and you may actually change your position on immigrants. So it's as simple as that. 855-400-7282. We're down to 15 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Joe on line 9. Joe, what topic are you calling on?
I'm calling on the new and improved Family Leave Act in San Francisco that you were talking about earlier.
Let me explain it. The crazy city of San Francisco has forced private businesses to give 12 weeks of family leave to anyone who works 8 hours a week or more. I've never heard of anything like this. What is this about?
Okay, so has there been an additional change to now where the father can have that the leave as well as the mother? Because my initial point was I thought they were stepping in the direction of if there's a family with two daddies or a family with two mommies, that eventually...
No, it's the first city in the nation to require, force businesses to provide 12 weeks of paid leave for new mothers and fathers to spend time with their child. Now, the question is, how does that make sense to give it to someone who works 8 hours a week? Can you figure that one out?
No, nobody
can. So this is some kind of screwball idea to help a specific group, and I've not yet figured out what they're talking about here. How can you give someone 12 weeks off at full pay who only works 8 hours a week. It sounds like a scam to me. That's all. Next case. Let's move on. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Many topics. Many callers. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. It's a very grim world out there, isn't it? This election is exhausting for all of us. It's toxic when you consider the worms in the media who attack Trump for a burp and let Hillary get away with, well, let's say flooding Europe with millions of refugees because of her failed policies, the Clinton Foundation money sources, you know, little stuff like that. You know, little things like that that they seem to ignore, the worms in the media. I won't use the word vermin because it's pregnant with misassociations. So I'll use the word, I used to say solenterates, but I realize that people don't know what that means, so I'll use the word worms. That has more meaning. Now, here's something that is not confirmed at all, but I would be remiss not to mention it to you, incidentally. This has just come out. I feel it's important that I read this to you. There is a website called The Right Perspective. And they have an article they just came out with, and it's titled as follows. Take it up with them if you don't like what I'm about to say. It came out minutes ago. To me, anyway. Has Anonymous dropped Ted Cruz's DC Madam phone docs? So I said, what does this mean? It says, Twitter accounts claiming to be allied with Anonymous have dropped alleged phone records of late DC Madam Deborah Palfrey, showing Ted Cruz used her services. One of the several Twitter accounts tied to the hacktivist group tauntingly posted a screenshot of the call log with Texas calls highlighted. Now, there are those who are saying this is Photoshopped. There are those who are saying, no, it's not Photoshopped. But they're all going to a similar number, and they're circulating widely. Multiple calls made to various hotels. The blogger, the Marshall Report, claims the numbers are Cruz's private numbers. The conspiracy message board, Godlike Productions, reports that another number on the call log is that of a wire transfer service titled MLHUI Luilia LLC. But I don't know what that means. The day before the alleged docs were released, lawyer Montgomery Blair Sibley, who represented the late D.C. madam, told U.S. News & World Report that the call logs of his former client were already online. Well, what does all of this mean? 2 weeks after her conviction, this madam was found in her mother's shed with a nylon rope around her neck, dead from apparent suicide. Another one? So take from it what you will. Those who support Cruz say the phone records are obvious Photoshop done poorly. Another one says, yes, I thought that it was Photoshopped as well, but then I remembered that in the past, I have either tried to save or print documents to a PDF or Word doc and ended up with all kinds of crazy fonts. Okay. So, I don't know what to make of this. Another one said, yes, I had that happen to me today with a master's thesis that I wanted to use for my son in Lagos. You should see what happened to it when it was transferred. I am dismayed. And then the Cruz haters jump on and they say Cruz is a slimy worm. Because of him waving the Bible around. He says, I hate politics and all politicians. And then another one says, why is this not more widely published? Cruz is a slimy liar. And too many people are falling for his BS. CNN, they say, is a very biased news agency. You don't hear them rail on Cruz like they do on Trump. Dump all the dirt on all the candidates, including Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Get the truth out about Cruz and all the others. If Anonymous knows what he's talking about, then let's get to it. Rid this presidential race of the holy roses, rollers like Ted Cruz. So you may say, well, it's just rumor. I shouldn't have covered it. Yes, I should. It shows you an awful lot about those who wave Bibles, if it is true.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Okay, turn it on. Thanks, Nick. Give him a pizza, tell him we'll see him in the casino later. But the thing is this. I'm a fantasist. I admit it. I'll be the first to admit in the media that I live in a fantasy world. I have a fantasy that America does exist. I have a fantasy that there is an America. I have a fantasy that we can restore America. I have a fantasy that we have an evil, corrupt government. I have a fantasy that we can have a relatively, I don't know, just government. I have many fantasies that I live in. And in order to stop my fantasizing, because I do write novels that are bestsellers, I write poetry, I write songs, I paint watercolors. I haven't done any in a month or two. I don't know what's wrong with me. My ability to paint since this election started, I can't even paint anymore. My spirit is gone for me. I'd like to marshal my painting spirit back. But you have to be in a state of delight. You have to see things in a certain light in order to paint watercolors. You know what I'm saying? I don't copy things. I've thought of it. I create them. They're simple. I admit they're very simple. They're very, very simple. But some think they're delightful. One day I'll have a show, an online show of them, and you'll judge for yourself. I'm not here to sell you watercolors. In order to control my fantasies, I went into the field of science, and I found that if I dealt with reality, the realities of hard science, whether it was in botany, where there was a specific genus and species for specific plants, and when you consider that there are 600,000 or more flowering plants alone on the planet, each of which has a very specific Latin name, and that if you study taxonomy, you come to determine what that name is, or in chemistry, as Linus Pauling wrote, he went into chemistry because it was the one place he knew with almost a 99% certainty that that was what it was. In other words, if he was analyzing an element for what it was, he could determine to a 99th percentile that that's what it was. There was no maybes involved in chemistry. That's why he went into chemistry. Because those of us who have minds that are very fertile and very imaginative sometimes can get far adrift from reality. And in order to center ourselves, we have to find ways to do it. I found it in hard science, and it gave me an awful lot of peace in my life. I find politics to be the least satisfying of all of my endeavors because it's full of crap, all of it. All of it is filled with garbage. And let anyone tell you otherwise, they're lying to you. In other words, what does social science mean? Nothing. It's gibberish. It's ideas. It's opinions. Yeah, they publish studies and this, but you know that they're all biased. It doesn't mean anything. It's all opinion. Now, there's nothing wrong with opinion, but just be sure you say it's opinion. So now let's get back to the issue of Trump versus Cruz. Okay? On the issue of immigration, which I think is very important to the survival of America. Trump is very specific. I will build that wall. Said it over and over again. Repeated it on Monday on my show. I asked him specifically. Yes, we will build a wall. He's so real that Vicente Fox is literally going crazy over Trump's statements because they know he will build a wall because it's a very popular concept. It's long overdue. We want our borders back. On Muslims, yes, we will not let any more Muslims in until we can figure this thing out. Now, who could oppose that except those who want to impose a 14th century Sharia law on us? Who would want to change our freedoms to some throwback idea from the Middle Ages unless they're psychotic altogether? So, on immigration, Trump is very specific. I like specifics. On immigration, Mr. Cruz is very unspecific. We will secure the border. Means nothing. I've heard it for years. We will do this. We will do that. Non-specific again. So, what I'm getting back to is that because we are all burned out from lying politicians, I have to go with the politician who tells me more specifically than the other what he will do. We know Hillary is an open borders gal. We know she'd like to do to America what her pal, Mrs. Knockwurst over there in Germany has done. You know, destroy Germany's proud traditions, destroying Christianity, the remnants of it in Germany. It's beyond belief that she has not been impeached. I don't know how she gets away with it in Germany. I really don't know what their laws are. How do they let this oven stuffer get away with it? I don't know. But anyway, that's what Hillary would do to us. Bernie Sanders, a naked communist, a lifetime naked communist, take it from me. I know facts. I know reality. I can smell a communist when they come near me. He is a walking, talking, living embodiment of communism. Nothing else. That's what he is. Everyone who knows communism knows what he is. Only the naive fools who don't know what communism is think that the guy is not a communist. And so, of course, they want something for nothing. Of course, they're jealous losers who want to take something from those who have it and take it for themselves. And of course, they will react to a demagogue like this Bernie Sanders. They actually believe him, but he's lying to them as well. He's just a lying demagogue who's using communism to divide and conquer. So, he's very specific, by the way, Bernie Sanders. He's a very specific communist. And him I understand very well. So what I'm saying is, in politics, I go with those who are specific, because at least I know where they stand. And so that's why on the Republican side, I'm for one and not for the other. And that's why on the Democrat side, I'm opposed to both of them, because they're a disaster, a clear and present danger for the survival of the United States of America. Unless this arc of destruction is stopped, that was started long before this maniac Obama seized power, or was foisted upon us, whichever way you want to look upon it, unless this arc of destruction of our nation's military, borders, language, and culture is arrested, the country is finished. And I don't want to see it finished. And that's why I get up in the morning. There are many mornings I don't want to do this anymore. There are many mornings I can't do it one more second. There are many mornings I say, if I have to talk about this election one more second, I don't know what I'm going to have to do because I can't take it. I cannot do it. I am not a monodimensional talk show host. I've been in the business too long, and most of you know this. You look back on my career, rarely have I got stuck on a single topic for more than a certain period of time. I need to be refreshed in my own mind in order to stay fresh for you. And the worst year, the worst period of my entire radio life was when Hillary and Bill Clinton bombed Serbia in a war crime. I think it was for 78 straight days. They took our U.S. Air Force and illegally painted NATO markings over U.S. Air Force planes, and then they bombed the sovereign nation of Serbia around the clock for 78 days straight, committing one war crime after another. Hillary and Bill Clinton killed hundreds of Serbian men, women, and children, blowing them up in hospitals and schools, not reported by the media, except in Europe. Madeleine Albright was wanted as a war criminal for years in Europe. You didn't read about that. You didn't hear about that. Bill and Hillary Clinton blew up every bridge on the Danube River during that illegal, immoral war against the Serbian people who were trying to defend their sovereignty from what followed. Those 68 or 78 days were the hardest days in my life on radio. Well, now I've succeeded that. This election is harder than that bombing campaign. It's relentless. It's like being in a bunker in England during the Blitz. It's unending, and I don't want to overpersonalize this election any more so than I already have. But I'll repeat now what I said at the beginning of the show, which I've said many times. I have no skin in the game. I don't win anything personally or lose anything personally if Donald Trump wins or loses. I wish others in the media would take that oath. I have taken that oath repeatedly. So why am I so forcefully in support of Donald Trump despite all of his foibles? The answer is because he's very specific on the issues that matter to the survival of the United States of America. On the survival of the military, he is clearly the only candidate who can restore the military's pride and honor and restore the budgets that they need in order to save us from the hordes that are out to destroy us. On language, on culture, he's the strongest candidate. It's that simple. And so if you analyze what I'm in this for, it's for that reason alone. It's not for me personally. I'm not going to be made Solicitor General if Donald Trump becomes president. I'm not going to be made Attorney General if he becomes president. I'm not going to run the NIH or the HHS, as I've joked about, if he becomes president. Not only do I not want it, but I didn't ask for it. I was joking about it. There's nothing in it for me. Zero. And so it's for America. That's why I support him. He's very specific on national security and on immigration, more so than Ted Cruz's. So now let's go to the callers, because I've given you my opinion on this election. It's a toll on me, very heavy toll. In a previous discussion, I think this hour, a caller called and said, Savage, why shouldn't we take all of the poor immigrants in? Didn't your grandfather come here as an immigrant? I said, yeah, but my grandfather came here when we didn't have a welfare state. He didn't understand that. And I made a statement that I said, I think more than 50%, or is it 60% or 65% of immigrants in the United States receive some form of welfare. Well, I'm 100% right. My friend Peter Chalka just sent me a report that was published by the Free Beacon on illegal immigrants on welfare, and here's what it says. More than half of households headed by immigrants in the country illegally, or 62%, I was very close, received welfare benefits in 2012, according to a report released by the Center for Immigration Studies. In the same period, 49% of households headed by legal immigrants received welfare benefits, while just 30% of households headed by natives received the same. Now, that's from 2012. It's gotten much worse since then, and I believe the data can be found in Government Zero. I'll check it in a minute. My friends, we can't afford to take in all of the world's poor. No matter how soft you are on feeling bad for people, you know, there's a saying, charity begins at home, and we need charity to begin at home. We have veterans dying in the hallways of veterans' hospitals, despite the fact that Wolf Blitzer doesn't cover it anymore. We have Americans who are extremely poor, living from check to check, from welfare check to welfare check. They've been here two generations. You want to spread some money around? Start with the Americans, not with the illegal aliens. At least that's how I see it. Alan on KSFO, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. Former liberal, new listener, wanted to point out something about the law in San Francisco. It just turns out that the most far-leaning to the right supervisor is the author of that law, and it was signed by our very far-right-leaning mayor.
Very far-right-leaning mayor? Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
And wait, Ed Lee is a far-right mayor? Where'd you get that rhetoric from, Willie Brown?
No, I'm just pointing it out. It's what we live with here in San Francisco.
That's absurd. Ed Lee is not far-right. That's stupid.
In San Francisco, he is.
That is stupid. First of all, let me ask you something. How can you give 12 weeks family leave to someone who works only 8 hours a week? Can you explain that to me?
No, I think it's crazy. I'm just pointing out that that's what we live with here in San Francisco. He's regarded as a far-right in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. So you mean it sarcastically. I get it.
In San Francisco, yes.
Okay. I take it back then. I took umbrage at what you said because I thought you were making a factual statement about the mayor being far-right. He's not anything like that. You know that.
Right.
Okay, I get it. Good joke. Really laughing my pants off. Really funny. A lot of humor out there, yeah. 855-407-2282, michaelsavage.com. Sanders says Israel killed 10,000 Palestinians. He's lying because even the Palestinians say 1,462 were killed. And so Bernie Sanders has now disqualified himself for the presidency through this blood libel. Even the Ku Klux Klan would not dare say a thing like this. The Nazi Party USA wouldn't say a thing like this because even they want credibility. And here is Bernie Sanders, whose communism trumps his ethnicity. I am saying once again on this program that this should disqualify him. He should withdraw from the race. I'm actually asking the Hillary Clinton campaign for their own reasons to demand that Bernie Sanders withdraw from the race immediately. Because if he can make a statement like this, lying so nakedly like this, what else is Bernie Sanders lying about? Think about what I just said. Think about what would happen if Donald Trump said something like that, or if Ted Cruz said something like that. Would they last another second? They would withdraw in shame. But because communists have no shame, especially lying communists who stand for nothing but self gain, like Bernie Sanders, who has used division his entire life to advance himself, he will not withdraw. But he needs to be forced to withdraw by the Democrat Party USA. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
History is about is that when people stand up and they say the status quo is not acceptable, we will not have children working in factories. We will not have working people on the job who have no power over those jobs.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Go back to Katz's Delicatessen and sling some corned beef. Do you know of any child labor in factories? Where is he getting this rhetoric from? The man is a madman. He's espousing 1930s Communist Party USA rhetoric, and the dumb children in the colleges can't get enough of him. Now, to conclude, with regard to last night in Wisconsin, if you look back on the history of these primaries, in the states where people actually vote, Trump has won every one of them. But in states like Wisconsin, where the party apparatchiks run the voting, meaning caucuses, which is not the same thing as people going and voting, of course it was rigged for Ted Cruz to win. And of course, you well know that the Democrats are celebrating because they worked along with the Republican establishment, with the super PACs of the Republican establishment, and the Democrat Party and Scott Walker to defeat Donald Trump, because he represents someone who'll take on the status quo. And that's the rest of the story. Wait until you see what happens in states where there are real elections, where people actually go and vote, as opposed to party apparatchiks. You get what I'm saying to you? It's not over till it's over. Bernie Sanders should be forced to resign for his big lie, his blood libel against Israel. I would say he should be ashamed of himself, but a low-life demagogue like him does not know shame. That's it. Thanks for listening. It's Michael Savage. I'll be back tomorrow with God's will and your listenership.